Chapter 1. In the big building of the law courts, during a break in hearing the case of the Belvinskys, the members and the prosecutor met in Ivan Yergovich Shebak's office, and the conversation turned to the famous Krasovsky case. Fyodor Vasilevich became heated, demonstrating non-jurisdiction. Ivan Yergovich stood his ground. As for Pyotr Ivanovich, not having entered into the argument in the beginning, he took no part in it, and was looking through the just-delivered gazette. "Gentlemen," he said, "Ivan Ilyich is dead." "Can it be?" "Here, read it," he said to Fyodor Vasilevich, handing him the paper, still smelling of fresh ink. Inside a black border was printed, "It is with profound grief that Praskovya Fyodorovna Golovin informs relations and acquaintances of the passing away of her beloved husband, Ivan Ilyich Golovin, member of the Court of Law, which took place on the 4th of February of this year, 1882. The funeral will take place on Friday at 1 p.m. Ivan Ilyich had been a colleague of the assembled gentlemen, and they all liked him. He had been ill for several weeks. It had been said that his illness was incurable. His post had been kept open for him, but there was an understanding that in case of his death, Alexeev might be named to his post, and to Alexeev's post, either Vinnikov or Shtabel, so that, on hearing of Ivan Ilyich's death, the first thought of each of the gentlemen assembled in the office was of what his death might mean in terms of transfers or promotions of the members themselves, or of their acquaintances. "Now I'll probably get Shtabel's or Vinnikov's post," thought Fyodor Vasilevich. "It was promised to me long ago, and the promotion means a raise of 800 rubles, plus office expenses. I must now request my brother-in-law's transfer from Kaluga," thought Pyotr Ivanovich. "My wife will be very glad. Now she won't be able to say I've never done anything for her family." "I thought he would never get on his feet," Pyotr Ivanovich said aloud. "What a pity." But what exactly did he have? The doctors couldn't determine. That is, they did, but differently. When I saw him the last time, it seemed to me he'd recover. And I haven't visited him since the holidays. I kept meaning to. Did he have money? It seems his wife has a little something, but quite insignificant. "Yes, we'll have to go. They live terribly far away. From you, that is. Everything's far from you." "See, he can't forgive me for living across the river," Pyotr Ivanovich said, smiling at Shebek. And they started talking about the long distances in town and went back to the session. Apart from the reflections this death called up in each of them about transfers and possible changes at work that might result from it, the very fact of the death of a close acquaintance called up in all those who heard of it, as always, a feeling of joy that it was he who was dead and not I. "You see, he's dead, and I am not," each of them thought or felt. Close acquaintances, Ivan Ilyich's so-called friends, involuntarily thought as well that it would now be necessary for them to fulfil the very boring obligations of decency and go to the funeral service and to the widow on a visit of condolence. Closest of all were Fyodor Vasilevich and Pyotr Ivanovich. Pyotr Ivanovich had been Ivan Ilyich's comrade in law school and considered himself as under obligation to him, having told his wife over dinner the news of Ivan Ilyich's death and his reflections on the possible transfer of his brother-in-law to their district. Pyotr Ivanovich, without lying down to rest, put on his tailcoat and drove to Ivan Ilyich's. At the entrance to Ivan Ilyich's apartments stood a carriage and two cabs. Downstairs, in the front hall by the coat rack, leaning against the wall, was a silk brocaded coffin lid with tassels and freshly polished gold braid. Two ladies in black were taking off their fur coats. One, Ivan Ilyich's sister, he knew. The other was an unknown lady. Pyotr Ivanovich's colleague, Schwartz, was about to come downstairs, and from the topmost step, seeing him enter, stopped and winked at him, as if to say, "Ivan Ilyich made a botch of it. We'll do better, you and I." Schwartz's